Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing? Butch, how are you doing? Zito, how are you doing, my brother?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing great.
You know what, guys? I want to be the first one to say I was wrong on two accounts. First, the minimal account. Kell Brook has decided to fight JoJo Dan instead of Antoine Dekery, which is what I stated on this air last week. So I want to go ahead and let the listeners know that that's been changed. And the big thing I was wrong about was the Bermain Stiverne Deontay Wilder fight. Wow.
Uh-huh.
I was dead wrong, and I'm proud to say it.
Yeah, that was the
I was also wrong. Yeah, I was also wrong with it, and I do want to commend Deontay Wilder for a tremendous performance. He showed stamina, he showed punching power, he showed smart, and he showed a bit of a chin. So I do want to give a shout out to Deontay.
He showed a lot of discipline. I think that the thing that surprised me most was him being able to control a fight. For 12 rounds. It's not an easy thing to do. And also, it's been revealed that he broke his hand in the third or fourth round as well, his right hand. So he was fighting, he fought that whole fight essentially with a broken right hand as well. So, you know, definitely kudos to him. It was a big performance for Deontay Wilder. It's also come out that Bermain Stiverne, right after the fight, had to be hospitalized because he was dehydrated. And the question started to abound, how does a heavyweight come in dehydrated when he doesn't have to make weight? Apparently, it's been rumored that Stiverne entered camp at 290 pounds. So that could explain how heavyweight would have to dehydrate himself. So,
yeah, and it looked like Stiverne didn't have everything with him. I'm not taking credit away from Deontay, but Stiverne came in and he didn't apply a whole lot of pressure. He normally doesn't fight that way, but fighting a guy like Deontay, that's what he has to do to win. And you could see that he didn't have it with him. It didn't seem that he had it with him. He didn't. He only could fight in little bursts, like we thought he would. But to be honest, in this fight, he had to do different, and it seemed that he just didn't have it proper physically.
Well, you know, if he came in at 290, and you know he got down to his fighting weight, which is, you know, 239 is what he weighed for the fight. I mean, that's a huge drop. That's like almost 60 pounds. On top of that, there were rumors persisting that during training.
Yeah, that I guess thank God that Chris is down in Puerto Rico. And it costs $6 a minute to call because he'd be all over us this weekend.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Really likes that. Wilder, yeah.
Dr. Chris is absolutely high on Deontay, and you can see why.
Yep.
He showed all of the physical attributes that, you know, that makes, that can make a great boxer, to be honest. it's a question to see who's going to fight next and to see how that's going to go. But Deontay, I mean, he has the tools. He has the gifts. I mean, physically, and it seems that mentally, and as Ty alluded to, his boxing smarts and his patience, it seems,
you know,
to be coming together.
The other gift Deontay has is the gift of gab. He's a very good self-promoter, and he brings some excitement to the heavyweight division just with his mouth. So, obviously, another giant who brings excitement to the heavyweight division just with his mouth is one Tyson Fury over in England. So initially, right after the fight, there had been talks about that being made. Tyson Fury right now is the mandatory for Vladimir Klitschko. Bryant Jennings is the mandatory for Deontay Wilder. Since Klitschko is scheduled to fight, and, you know, that has been signed and done. It's a done deal. He's fighting Deontay Wilder. He's fighting Bryant Jennings. Since that fight is made, Deontay Wilder said, hey, I'll go take your mandatory, Tyson Fury, and then we can go ahead and meet afterwards. But Tyson Fury has said that, you know, first of all, after he, you know, besmirched Deontay Wilder, as only Tyson Fury could, he said that he's going to wait for a shot at Klitschko.
And you can't blame Tyson Fury for that, because that's where the money is in the heavyweight. Right. Although Deontay is beginning to make some noise, which is going to be generating money for him and for any fighter that's going to be fighting him. With that said, Tyson Fury, that's a difficult matchup for Deontay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Tyson Fury, he's also a big guy. And I personally think that he has a little more, he shows a little more in the ring at this point than Deontay. Deontay, I think he's more powerful. speed-wise, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell between the two. But,
I mean, once Tyson's bigger. Tyson's 6'9", Deontay's 6'6.5". To completely concur with you, Zita, Deontay is the better athlete. He definitely hits harder. But Tyson at this stage in his career is a more fluid boxer than Deontay Wilder. And it's funny to say that Tyson Fury is a more fluid boxer, but he's a more fluid boxer at this stage in his career than Deontay Wilder. He's also gone, you know, the distance numerous times. And he's been through adversity. And, you know, even in a fight with Stavern, Deontay Wilder didn't face adversity. Tyson Fury's a guy who might get knocked down, but he'll get back up and keep fighting. And I agree with Z. That would be a pretty tall order. Not saying Deontay Wilder wouldn't win, but it would be a tough fight for Deontay at this point in time in his career.
Yes. And I also think that Brian Jennings is going to be one of the more competitive matchups that Klitschko is going to have in years. So. I mean, that he's had in years.
Yeah, I like Brian. Bye bye, Jennings. He's a Philly guy. Zito, we've seen him live, but.
More competitive than past fighting years.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
trying to define it in a way to where, I mean, if that's the truth, to my knowledge and what I say, that's the truth. But I think he's going to be more competitive than. It'll be past fights for Klitschko.
We're still a couple months away, and I have plenty of footage to review. But right now, off the top of my head, I know he's a bigger guy, but I see it going similar. Maybe sans the knockout, but similar to how the fight went with Eddie Chambers. But again, I need to look at much more footage of Brian Jennings first before I make that determination.
But we got another fight that's coming up a little faster than that, and that's Brandon Rio and Mikey Alvarado. And Mikey got stopped the last time. He seems to have changed his tactics. What do you think on this fight?
Well, Mike Alvarado, he's become a versatile fighter. I mean, he's really, you know, at heart he's a banger. He would stand toe-to-toe with you. But he's become a little more versatile. And it seems ever since the first Rios fight where Alvarado was stopped, and we saw that in the second Rios fight where he essentially moved his feet and outboxed Rios, still was tough and he still had to be durable. Since then, Mikey Alvarado he's suffered a kind of a brutal knockout against Provotnikov, and I think that might have taken something out of him. But Rios, I mean, he's a guy. I mean, Alvarado's beaten him before using his feet, so that's always possible.
You know, it's funny because a lot of scribes believe this fight comes down to who has the most left. With that being said, Brandon Rios does have a 6-year age advantage on Alvarado, who's 34. Rios is 28. Both guys have a style that enables them, I shouldn't say enables them, but both guys have a style that causes them to absorb tons of punishment, which it puts a short shelf life on a boxing career just because of the physicality of the sport and the physicality that these two guys endure every time they step in the ring. Zito was absolutely correct. Alvarado won the last fight against Rios by, you know, outboxing him, moving his feet more, limiting the engagements. Alvarado is the more diverse fighter in there. Rios is a much, you know, he's a much better inside fighter. He's, you know, basically a really tight technical inside fighter, but he's very hittable on the way in. He's the kind of guy who'll give two, who'll take two to give one. The thing is, though, is that what it comes down to is when you look at these two guys, obviously they kind of paint a masterpiece every time they get together. But the fact of the matter is that if both guys are fresh, then if Alvarado sticks to his game plan, then, you know, typically he should outbox Rios. But, again, like Zito said, it comes down to what Alvarado's had left. He had a brutal, brutal fight with Ruslan Provitnikov in which he didn't come out for the 10th round. And then he had a brutal fight with Juan Manuel Marquez, in which he lost the unanimous decision. So, you know, the wear and tread is on his tires, maybe more so than Brandon Rios. But, you know, that's what makes this fight so interesting because, you know, one guy could do a little bit more, but that guy may have a little bit more less in the tank. You know what I mean? So,
hey, guys,
yeah.
We're joined by the man who helped start this this program and one of the finest boxers to come out of Sarasota, Florida, Mr. Aaron Jaco. Aaron, how you doing tonight?
Hi, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
How y'all been? Yeah. You guys caught me in the middle of a run. I'm running McIntosh here in Sarasota. And so I was like, man, New York. DeBella called me the other night from New York. I'm like, all right, is it him? And I clicked over on you. I just missed your call, so you called back again. So how are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
We understand you have a fight coming up in April. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, a new promotion company is getting started. It's called Sky Promotions by a young man here in Sarasota, Florida. Just wants to get into the boxing game a little bit and see what he can get started bringing boxing back to Sarasota a little bit and bringing it back. I wouldn't even say called bringing it back. They've had a couple of shows and never was quite here. My father did a couple of shows.
Mm-hmm.
China had a couple shows, but it never really caught on. I just always thought, too, because it was, you know, the wrong promotions trying to run these shows. And, you know, there's certain things you got to do to make sure that your shows, you know, make it and, you know, sustain themselves in a city that may not be boxing crazy. Maybe say, like, you know, Oxnard, California, and, you know, Vegas and all these other big cities. So they're going to give it a shot. So April 3rd, they decided to put on a show, and they got China Smith on there. I'm on there. A few other local fighters, and start with local fighters is just a great start. You know, first off, it puts, you know, people in the seats because people know us.
Sure. No, will that be at Robarts or where are we going to have it?
It will be at Robarts.
Okay. So for those who don't know, Robarts Arena is on Fruitville Road, just east of Tuttle, and it's a great venue for boxing. We've had a couple nice shows there from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of get ruined with that tough man thing, but real boxers are coming back, and that's going to make it really good.
Yeah, no, I mean the tough man, especially I think in real fighters leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. You know, I mean they're putting drunk people in there that night. People just can sign up right out of the crowd and fight, and even though they try to say they're sanctioned. Not sanctioned. They're told they're beyond amateurs. Amateurs will whip these guys' butts. You know, I've had people ask me, like, do you think you could have taken so-and-so in the amateur contest? I'm like, are you kidding me? You couldn't have got out of the first minute of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand that these amateurs that are fighting these tough man contests are not real fighters. They're scrappy guys who, you know, have a little cojones to them, but no fighting skill whatsoever. So, you know, it's one of those things. But it'll be fun to have boxing back in the Sarasota area. And so, you know, it's a good 70 days out, so it's an exciting time coming this way to Sarasota, and so we're all looking forward to it.
And what are you doing to train for it? Just you?
Well, you know, Butch, being a good-looking guy I am, I always stay in shape. You know, you never know
when
I got a photo shoot coming up. So what's crazy is I've been banging the weights, so I was putting on some nice, you know, defined muscle, and still staying boxing and hitting the pool for laps and stuff. No, I just switch it back over to the boxing a little bit more, you know, the weights and the conditioning. So, you know, right now it's just getting the condition going and start lining up sparring partners and get right back on track like I always have. Like I said, I've never had a problem being in shape as a good fighter. Skill-wise, because I took so many years off and never really, you know, submerged myself in the sport, I always say I might always be a little bit of skill behind. I mean, I always be the fastest or the hardest hitter, but you're never going to doubt, you know, my you know, readiness for a fight. I would never walk into a fight not in shape. You know, that's the most important thing about me, that I always be in shape no matter what. I'd be embarrassed if I wasn't. So,
and that was pretty evident.
That being said, you know,
that was pretty evident last year when you fought Martinez up there at the Alucard Pavilion in Tampa. I mean, you look
funny
good.
With Martinez, he's a tougher fighter than record shows, and that goes to a lot of fighters out there. People don't understand that with records, you know, when somebody sees a record, you're fighting a guy with a 500 record, and they think he's a bum. I'm like, you'll be surprised how tough some of these guys are. You know, before I fought him, I think he beat a Jamaican fighter who had a couple minor titles, who was like, you know, 13-2. Then he KO'd that kid from Tampa that was 7-0. He KO'd him in the first round, I believe. He had like one or two other impressive wins. So, and he was actually kind of a slick fighter, you know. He didn't hit me any good shot that hurt anything at all, but I got to tell you, I didn't get as much sparring in as I wanted to, and it had been 14 months since I've been in the ring. So I found myself, you know, breathing really heavy. It was being a very uncomfortable spot. And what I try to tell people about boxing is that you're trying to be as comfortable as you can in a very uncomfortable situation when you got somebody trying to knock your head off. So sure. When you don't see somebody coming at you for a while, you know, you're breathing, it's just not down, you're a little bit rusty, you know, you have a little bit of harder time in there. So this time around, I'm definitely going to do some more sparring because I didn't spar not one time for that fight. So being out of the ring for 14 months, I think it was before that, I mean, that's a long time not to go into a fight with no sparring.
Yeah, that was...
But again, conditioning did show. But, I mean, I got to admit, I was breathing heavy even though I was in stellar shape, you know.
Well, you certainly couldn't tell from, you know, our seats are always in the back, but you certainly look good. You look faster than I had seen you in previous fights. Are you still training is your brother still training yet for fights?
He does. What I like about my brother is my brother's that guy who's going to push you, and if he told you to walk through a brick wall, you're going to walk through a brick wall. He's going to condition you so hard that you hate him that night.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to boxing, he's real simple. He says, you got two hands, you're going 1-2s. You know, you stick with nice, straight, you know, crisp, hard punches, 1-2s. Nothing fancy. You don't need all this other hip-hopping and moving, all this crazy stuff. Whereas then Ruben, my other mitt man, he does. He gets me, you know, hip-hopping a little bit, kind of bounce around a little bit, you know, using a lot of good head movement. So I kind of get a mix of both. And then, you know, about a month out this time around, you know, 6 weeks out, once we really got the opponent set, I'm going to see, you know, who I really want to, you know, stay focused on. I mean, I always, you know, love my brother and trust my brother more than anybody just because, you know, he'll tell me if I can go on or if I can't. And, you know, I'm his brother, so I'm, the, you know, basically the closest thing to him besides his kids. So, you know, I'm always going to trust in my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Aaron, let me ask you a question. You just brought up a really good point. One thing we know about you is you're in phenomenal conditioning. But you were just talking about how you hadn't sparred in 14 weeks and how you still found yourself breathing hard. I was coaching at a Thai boxing gym. And I actually met my wife there. She came in and wanted to learn how to box. And she had owned her own personal training company, personal trainer. And
right.
The first thing she realized was that her conditioning wasn't up to par when she started boxing. Could you explain the difference between being in, say, personal training shape and being in fight shape?
Yeah, I mean, well, basically your body feeds off different energy systems, you know. You have some fat mass, which your body also, you know, does get some energy from fat. So I also tell people when I get very lean, my body doesn't have that fat resource to feed energy off of. So I'm going on, you know, proteins and burning muscle while I'm in that ring. But your body consists basically of two muscle fibers. You got endurance fiber and you got an explosive fiber. What makes boxing the hardest sport there is that you got to use a combination of both. You have to have that endurance fiber because that fight might be going 36 minutes if you're in a championship fight. On top of that, you better still have that knockout punch in the 12th round. So you still got to have that explosive fiber as well. So basically you're starting to incorporate an intermediate fiber where you're trying to have endurance and explosiveness. And the closest thing you can even think to that is like maybe basketball or soccer where a slam dunk is an explosive movement, but it ain't over and over. Punches are explosive movements. So now you're being asked to be very explosive for 3-minute durations for up to 36 minutes long. So you're trying to mix the both of them, which if you ask an NBA player to jump up to the rim and slam dunk that ball, you know, 100 times in 3 minutes, he'd be absolutely exhausted. He'd hit the floor.
Yeah.
He'd be laying down. That would be hard to do. That's what boxers are doing. We're throwing hard punches, and it's one right after the other for a 3-minute duration for up to 12 rounds, depending on your fight. So when you're mixing the both of them, it becomes really hard because you're feeding off so many different energy systems and trying to be so explosive at the same time.
One thing I have to say also is the NBA player that's dunking 100 times, ask him to dunk 100 times while somebody's punching him in his body. That has
well,
to
exactly.
Up on the
you know, that's another thing that goes in. Exactly. Well, you know, the nerves will kick into play. And, you know, I always stay in shape. I mean, I own a gym. I've been doing, you know, a little bit of modeling this year. Things like that have been kind of coming my way. Here at 38 years old, I got you know, major magazines asking me to do modeling for them, almost like a fitness model. And here I am. I kind of make a joke about it. I go, you're actually asking a boxer, a guy who's been punched in the face probably 200 times to be a model. It's kind of ironic. But the fact that 38 years old that I'm able to keep the physique I am and also run my gym, you know, shows something of how hard I work. But I also tell people just because I'm chiseled or I got, you know, a freaking six-packs and, you know, obliques and the abs and the traps and everything showing, I go, doesn't mean that I'm going to kick some guy's butt across the ring just because he's got a little bit of a bare belly. Having a bare belly doesn't mean you can't punch people's lights out, you know, a.k.a.
Yeah.
Tank Abbott or Francois Bosa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean nothing. When it comes down to being a good fighter, you know, you got your hands. It doesn't matter if you got a little bit of punch you. I just like to stay in good shape. I also do think it could help in the long haul or help me, you know, bite down a little bit to take me a little bit farther. But I do know this. When I am at very low fat mass, I mean, I do have a hard time at times trying to gain a little bit of that energy towards the, you know, into some rounds, especially if my nerves are a little high on the high side. You know, I've been draining myself a little bit. And like I said, not getting in that sparring and that, you know, being that comfortable in the ring. So it's something I just got to really work on, and I know that. I just think the problem is at my age, I'm coming up, I'm 38 years old.
Right.
Being in the ring and sparring and getting hit in the head, you know, some days you'd rather just go eat a donut. You know, it's like, it's just the way it is. But it's just too bad that boxers, and I'm one of them, and I never understood it when my father was doing it, why it's so hard to walk away. Because when I walk out to that ring April 3rd in Sarasota, and that crowd of thousands of people are going to be there cheering me on, and we're going to be going nuts, it's hard to walk away from that adrenaline rush. And I tell everybody, I don't know if you could ever get that from jumping out of a plane, a bungee jump, because usually when I'm fighting, I mean, I hear that arena chant, Jaco, your last name, and for a minute, I mean, you're basically that god up in that ring. And I think that's what all fighters see and deal with in their lifetime. And I think that's why so many live such a wild lifestyle, even after the ring, whether if they're, you know, partaking in things that they shouldn't, getting in trouble because they miss that rush or that limelight, and they just don't know how to deal or cope with, you know, life after boxing.
Do you think you have to have somewhat of an addictive personality to be a combat sports athlete?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have a couple things going. You got to have a screw loose. Nobody, I don't know. Listen, what's the main thing is I get kids, college athletes who are getting scholarships in football, basketball, will come into my ring. And they'll be like, hey, you know, I want to spar you. Now, people look at these kids and go, oh, my God, this kid can whip some serious butt talent. I've seen him get in a fight one time, and he gets in a ring with me, and I feel like I'm, you know, boxing my little sisters. You know, it's just it's so easy, and it's like, wow. You know what I mean? You got this personality where you just this – and it's not obsessive compulsive. There's just something else where you got this screw loose where it's actually when you can own somebody – you know, kick their butts a little bit, it kind of gives you this feeling of, like, invincibility. So it's hard to walk away from that, but it's hard to pinpoint some things. Because to this day, Butch, I mean, my father turned 60 today. I went over to see him. I mean, his sister tells me I kicked my butt. I'm like, come on, man, you're 60. You know, let's not do this. My daughter's here, you know. It's, you know, I mean, just fighters will never let it go. I mean,
and then Aaron, you'll be 60 talking to your son-in-law eventually, talking about you could kick his butt. So,
well, totally. I mean, listen, I talk more trash than, you know, anybody. I talk as much trash as Mayweather. I tell everybody, if I ever met him, I think me and him would go head-to-head pretty good at trash talking. So I hope I hope pretty good, you know. I get on my brother's nerves, and he's pretty good at talking trash, too, but he'll admit. You know, I got the edge on him. It's all good fun. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the way fighters are. But that's the characters. I mean, that's what makes it cool. You know, it's cool to see. Actually, I read on Fight News the other day that Al Heyman signed, I think, a deal with Spike TV or something.
Yes, it is.
Hopefully, that's going to bring boxing back a little bit because, I mean, it needs something, you know. And this Manny and Mayweather fight, hopefully that happens. And I wish more people knew about Rios and Alvarado because I think huge boxing fans do like we do, but I don't think general public knows. Nobody that I know tonight called me up, my friends going, hey, I heard there's a good fight. Now, if Manny and Mayweather fighting, then my friends would be calling me going, hey, it's
exactly,
on, you know. But nobody
exactly
knows about Rios
exactly
and Alvarado when tonight millions of people across the world are going to miss this fight because they just don't know Rios and Alvarado.
And it's
going to
be a more entertaining fight. It's going to be a more entertaining fight than any of Manny or Floyd's past recent fights, too.
Oh, listen, I mean, I can't wait to see it. I mean, that's why I'm getting my workouts done early. I want to go grab a quick dinner, and I'm popping down on that TV. I mean, It's going to be a great fight. I mean, they always are.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, we appreciate you giving us the time tonight. As always, as everybody knows, that Aaron and his brother Adam and my son did start this, did start fighting words,
start
boxing buddies, which they turned down.
Well, you guys have done a good job of taking it on. So,
thank you so much, Aaron. Thank you so much.
We appreciate
it. Yeah, you guys have done a good job, and I always tell Butch this, and I truly mean this. Every time I'm out for a run, I always think of Bobby, a good friend of mine. I always miss him and love him, and I always get the chills whenever I think of that guy and I'm running, because I constantly think that that dude's watching over me. And I always say, whether I win or lose, that guy always makes sure that nothing serious happens to me. And you know, that's kind of my angel, because, you know, me and him always share that boxing game together.
Yep.
So, you know, I always love that guy and Butch and your family. So you guys have done a great job. And as the fight gets closer, I'll definitely be in touch with you all.
Yep, and we'll all be there.
Thank you.
We will be there.
All right, man.
All right,
thank you. You guys have a great night.
Enjoy the fight tonight.
All right, I will. Thanks, Butch. You all have fun tonight. Enjoy the fight.
Hey, Aaron, real quick, who do you like, Rios or Alvarado?
It's hard to say. It's kind of like you guys are saying, you know, Alvarado is a more diverse fighter. You know, he's a slugger, but he did change his game last time in that game. But I got to be honest with you. I just think that Alvarado has taken some wars. He was drained before the Provodnikov fight. I mean, he looked like a skeleton up there. He's been beat around a little bit. Plus, I think he just sustained the welts and the cuts a little bit sooner. So I think Rios possibly stops him tonight or hurts him where they throw in a towel. And honestly, too, I like that kid. He's got a lot of heart, but if he keeps taking the fights like he does, that kid's going to have to scramble, you know, eggs for brains in a few years from now. So he needs to get it while it's good right now. And then just call today, because he's taking a lot of punishment. Hopefully he realizes that, too. And I know it's hard for him, just like it's hard for me or any other fighter to walk away from it. But I hope he does well. Nobody gets hurt tonight. If we all know it's going to be a great fight. But I think Rios gets him tonight.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, have a good night.
Thank you.
You too. Take it easy, yeah.
All right, Butch. See you.
Hey, guys, we're joined by a good friend of ours, one of the finest from Virginia. Used to be a cookie that way, but this guy's no cookie. Frankie, how you doing? Frankie Colombo.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Good.
Hey, Frankie.
Now, Frankie, you were mentioning earlier that you thought you were going to have a fight come up, but you're still in negotiations. Is there anything that you're doing now? Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we've had a couple little setbacks as far as boxing is concerned. You know, I was assigned with Champs Management, and we had a difference of opinions on how my career should go. So we settled that difference, and we walked away. But just like in anything in boxing, you know, it just all you need is one punch. So
right.
That's what I'm looking for. So, but yeah, you know, it's kind of hard right now being a law enforcement officer, you know, with all the recent publicity and the tragedies that we've had.
Right.
So, you know, you know, the thing that I'm doing the most is, you know, just trying to keep myself in good shape. So when the opportunities come up, you know, I can take some fights and take it to some people. So,
well, Frankie, you talked about the adversity on the job. You know, we see it each and every day, but no matter where you are.
Yeah.
But
correct.
You're taking positive steps to make that difference up in Virginia. Can you tell our listeners what that is?
Yeah, sure. You know, like I said, with Virginia, we're in the Virginia Beach Police Department. You know, I've always taken an interest in the youth of today, and you know, one of the things that changed my outlook is that, you know, we had several kids in the street hanging out, you know, drinking, things of that nature, and they throwing their trash all on the ground. Well, they just kind of ran off when the police got there. Well, I was able to get a hold of a couple of them, you know, and talk to them. And by the end of our conversation, I said, hey, you know, if you want to do something for your neighborhood, you want to do something positive, you know, pick up your trash. Don't let these young kids see what they, you know, when they're going to school, they're walking by all this beer cans and the trash, and they think that they're no better than what they see. And that, you know, so, and by the end of that conversation, the kids picked up this trash, and I was amazed. I thought to myself, I'm thinking, wow, you know, I have a, and but it's kind of through boxing too, because some of them know that I'm a professional fighter, and you know, they kind of gravitate that. They see that uniform,
yeah, yeah.
And they feel all just mad and angry all of a sudden. But when I pull out the boxing photos or I show them a video on YouTube, you know, I'll give these kids my cell phone, like, hey, look, watch my latest fight on YouTube, you know.
We
watching that stuff, you know. I mean, it's a big thing. So watching, you know, so I think, you know, I'm going into a mentoring program with the kids in the local detention centers and stuff like that. So hopefully to make a positive change.
Excellent.
Frankie, this is Ty.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hey, Ty, how are you?
Well, I had the pleasure, Zito and I actually, of covering a fight for our radio show here. I believe it was at the Chase Center, in which you appeared on a card one day. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, we were actually quite impressed with your skill set. You moved your feet well. You kept your hands in punching position. You never seemed out of punching position. You always seemed on balance, and you reminded me of somewhat of a sniper. I was extreme. In fact, out of everyone on the card, I remember we got in the car and we were talking about you, just from a, because, you know, we like skills, you know.
Right.
It doesn't
wow.
matter how talented you are. We want to see a guy who holds his hands in position. He's always in position to punch or defend. And that's what we saw
right.
with you. We saw a very complete skill set. Again, to me, you were like a sniper. Tell us a little bit about your training and how you've come to that point in your career, your development.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's a huge compliment to me, you know, for guys like yourself that knows boxing and watching me and think like that. Because I'm one of those guys that is an older fighter in this game. You know, I've had to work harder. And one of the things I always look at is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I can tell you right now, I work so hard, it's not even funny. So, you know, I just, like I said, one of the things I watched Jack Johnson, fight. And uh-huh. I tell you, watching him parry punches with his hands and his gloves up, I kind of adapted that kind of style. I've been hit a couple times with people and negatively, you know, saying, hey, why are you so much of a counterpuncher or a defensive fighter? And, you know, I just like watching a guy miss and get frustrated and then, you know, me be able to hit him back. You know, so I'd rather them take the fight to me and I make them pay for it. So, but training is just simple. I go back to fundamentals. I still chop log, wood. I still hit tires
wow.
with sledgehammers. I do old school stuff. You know, I don't do a bunch of the pitty-patter punches on the mitts. You know, I tell my trainer, hey, if you're going to hold the mitts, you know, you get your game right. Build some muscles up because I'm hitting them hard. So, but,
you know, when I look at a Bernard Hopkins, he's a phenomenal athlete.
Absolutely.
Even at his age. But he wasn't elite to the level of a Roy Jones, per se, or even an Andre Durrell. And so here's
right.
a guy who worked hard to really develop his fundamentals. Do you think you – being an older fighter in the game, as you said, has made you realize that, you know what, I can do it if I develop my fundamentals, where you may not have the athleticism of that 21, 22-year-old
right.
older, but you can be better by being more technically and mentally astute. That's one thing, again,
yeah.
We saw in your game, you were very relaxed. Again, that's why I likened you to a sniper, is because
right.
you saw the opening and you shot quickly. And your hands were always in position. Do you think it's because, as an older fighter, you can't rely on athleticism as much?
Yeah, you know, that plays a part in it. But, you know, I tell you, at 34 years old, I'm still running a 7-minute mile. You know, I just broke down to I did 1 mile straight just to see how fast I could do it, and I did it right at 6:15. So I
wow.
still have a little bit of pop at 34, and that's just because I don't drink. I've never smoked cigarettes. I've never done any drugs. You know, I really keep a clean lifestyle. And you know, I tell you, faith in God, man, that really, you know, kept me grounded. The funny thing about that fight, though, is they call me Sunday to say, hey, can you fight Friday night? And
wow.
Because Dennis Haskins.
Wow.
And they said, hey, would you? And I had fought in I think at Dover Downs like the week before. So, you know, I'm resting up. I'm not even thinking about a fight. And they call me and say, hey, can you be in Delaware, you know, Wednesday/Thursday for the fight Friday? And I'm thinking, well, let's see. It's my son's birthday. I'm going to miss both my kids' birthdays because my daughter is on the 7th. My son's on the 8th. We won't get into that because, you know, that's just poor planning on my part. But yeah, they called me on a week, you know, 1 week notice basically, and I said, why are we talking about it? Send me the contract. So,
hey.
And you know, and we took that, and that was against a tough guy, Kevin Engel, and you know he had months to train for that fight, and you know he still to this day thinks he got robbed, but we all know what happened in that fight. But. Yeah, so we're hoping to get some. I think we're trying to get some back in Atlantic City. I'm trying to fight locally. They did call me for the Aaron Jaco fight. For his upcoming WBF title fight. But we had some other things going in the works. So his fight, I think, is April 3rd. Mine's April 9th. So I didn't want to get it too close together. So,
well, if you ever come down to. Down to Sarasota to fight him or over to Tampa, you let me know and we'll make sure we have you and your family here at the house for dinner.
Well, I appreciate that. I haven't gone down to Florida too much. I went to Disney World and that broke the bank, so I'm still recouping. You know, you buy a rain poncho for like $20 over there, you know.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
Just so you'll have further planning, every single day you have a little bit of rain in Orlando. Just enough to sell ponchos.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess. It's a mess down there. But, you know, it's good. But, I heard Aaron talking about, you know, and you guys talking about Pacquiao, Floyd, Mayweather. Hey, look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think that fight's already expired. I don't really care to see it. You know, I'd rather see Keith Thurman against Mayweather. Be honest with you.
Yes, it would.
Or Miguel Cotto rematch with Mayweather. You know, I mean, so.
Yeah, Keith is Keith's a local boy down here, and he's well loved, like yourself up there. But he's a formidable opponent for anybody. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, Frankie, how do you see that Keith Thurman, Robert Guerrero fight going?
I think Keith Thurman's got it. I think he's hungry right now. I think he's got some good fundamentals, and he's one of those guys that, you know, when you are backed into a corner and you're thinking, man, I'm gonna hit him with a power shot, and maybe he'll respect my power a little bit. Keith Thurman, man, he just takes that punch and he's ready to go. And I'm taking Keith Thurman. So.
Yeah. How about.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, boxing's, you know, people think boxing's dead, man, but, you know, it's coming back, you know, with a vengeance. So.
Yes, sir.
Now, Frankie, now, during your time of your current management situation, have you been sparring and keeping sharp?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that I like to say, my old trainer used to call me the Gillette Blue Blade because you never needed to sharpen it. That's kind of how I am. I try to stay sharp. And that's the thing. Being a police officer, working 40 to 50 hours a week, you know, I come in the gym. I get off work I work midnight, so I come off at 7 a.m., and I'm in the gym, you know, for 2 hours. Then I come home. I sleep for about 5 hours. I get up, hang out with the family, then get ready to do it all over again. So, you know, I stay sharp. I'm working hard, you know, five days a week in the gym right now. And, I know boxing is not going to be there forever, but, you know, one of the things that I like is that I have this secondary, you know, career with the, you know, law enforcement. And hopefully I'll change some lives through, you know, working with the kids.
Mm-hmm. But the,
one thing,
you know,
I will say, Frankie, is one thing I know, I used to work with kids, is working with kids and being in combat sports, boxing, MMA, Muay Thai, it's kind of like being a rapper almost. because it gives you a relatability to kids
right.
that another adult may not have. So even though you were saying that, you know, you're dealing with some issues now being a law enforcement officer, the fact that you're a boxer gives you an access to a community that a lot of other people, let alone police officers, don't have.
Absolutely. You know, and that's a perfect – and that's why I use boxing to bridge the gap. And, you know, the biggest thing I can tell you is when I'm out talking with some of these kids, I remember vividly that another officer came up to back me up, you know, because I called out and said, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm out talking with some kids, you know, letting them know my location. And, you know, another officer came up to back me up, and the kid said, hey, man, can you tell him to go? We don't feel safe or comfortable around him. And I'm thinking,
wow,
you know, what makes me any different? And then, you know, it's just I carry myself a little differently. You know, I've been called officer friendly because they say I'm not my peers, you know. You know, but the people that deal with me on the street, they know once they mess up, then I got them. And they know I have never had a problem on the street. I've never had, you know, a physical altercation like that where somebody, just going crazy on me. I've never had that. I've been able to diffuse situations just by talking. And, you know, and that's how I live my life, and I try to keep everybody else on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
that's great.
But I got one, you know, and I got one kid now that I'm working with. I work with him 1 or 2 days a week, and he's like, man, I want to box. I want to do all this. I said, well, what do your grades look like? And he's like, they're terrible. I go, well, we're not even going to pick up a boxing glove, man, until you get your grades right. So,
right.
You know, he understands, and, you know, we still do some running and stuff like that. And but I told him, I said, man, until you get your stuff right at home, until you get your stuff with your, you know, the court stuff, and then when you get stuff right with school, man, school's the most important thing to me. I told him, I said, I don't care if you pick up a glove at all, but you got to have your grades together.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's people out here with college degrees that are having a hard time finding jobs. You know, let alone, you know, let alone a guy with a GED or no diploma.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so I tell you, it's just an interesting thing. You know, I think I'll be honest with you. I think we can really do. I can do some big things with boxing. I haven't had the I haven't had the biggest talent, but I got a good fan base, man. And, you know, promoters, man, if they would just use that law enforcement side, that personal interest story, they could do a whole lot with it. But they come in, they fly by night, they want, you know, a bunch of cheap fights. You know, I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Right. Right.
You know, and the one thing that's sad about boxing, and I know you guys can agree, you know, is that they always call a fighter for, you know, like a 2-week notice or a week notice because they want a little bit of an edge on the fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I call some people's, you know, I call some people's bluff, a couple of months ago when they all offered me a fight to fight Chad Dawson. And the price was so low. I was like, the Bengals, former wide receiver, the Bengals, like Ocho Cinco, that guy? Yeah, I'll fight him for that price. I mean, I'm not fighting the
fight
know.
Ocho Cinco, huh?
I will beat Ocho that dude. I will beat that dude down.
Beat the brakes off Ocho Cinco right quick.
Yeah, you're thinking former light
you
heavyweight
talking about bad chance, former light heavyweight.
They call me and they're like, hey, well, we need you to be, you know, a week and a half. Can you be up in New York? And I'm thinking,
oh, man.
I told him, I said, listen, I said, here's what we'll do. I said, I'll do it for the same cheap price, but give me 10 weeks to train.
Yeah,
I said, let's have a good discussion. I said, no, matter of fact, I'll even save you $5,000. I'll take $5,000 off the top. You can keep that. And they said, well, we'll be in touch. I haven't heard them say. You know, so
wow.
You know, and I'm like, you know, it's a little kid from Hampton Roads, Virginia. You know, nobody knows where this place is. You know, I mean, come on. And but that's what bothers me is, you know, so you either have to stay in superior shape, which is kind of hard to do with a career. You know,
right,
if I didn't work at all and I had a sugar mama, you know, I could seriously be training every day, like 3 hours, 4 or 5 hours a day. You know, I just tell you, you know, I love my family and I love my job. So, you know, I try to have a good balance of, you know, all three. So, you know, but we'll see what happens. You know, 2015 is going to be a good year for me. So,
yes.
But, yeah. What do you guys think of Deontay Wilder's performance?
We just talked about that.
I was surprised. I thought it was a very disciplined performance, and the ring generalship he showed over 12 rounds was really blew me away.
Yeah.
And I thought he took a step up. He took a step up real fast. He grew a leap
right.
down in that fight compared to the last fight.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I watched that fight in awe. You know, you know, they're really
so like,
they're really
like us. You probably thought Stavern was going to win the fight.
I thought Stavern was going to not blow him away, but I just thought Stavern, after coming off that win, his last win, I just thought, man, he's got it. He's ready to go. You know, this is his biggest opportunity.
So
you know, and punching power. I thought, you know, he is a little puffy, as my 6-year old would say. But I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Whether Wilder can really step up to, you know, some of the other heavyweights like the Klitschkos or something like that. Who knows? You know.
Right.
So.
But he did pass his test, and he passed it with flying colors.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Let me ask you this one: what do you think of Jeff Lacy coming back in the ring?
Well, you know.
You think
he should stay out?
Yep.
Who's he fighting too? He's fighting somebody who's pretty dangerous actually too. We saw Solomon Barrera fight live where at Zito?
I remember Solomon.
Maybe the 2300 center? Maybe the 2300 in Philly?
Yeah,
I think we saw him fight there. Yeah, we saw him fight there last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Frankie, you were saying?
Yeah, well, you know, Jeff, they asked me to fight Jeff Lacy, and I said, well, can he make 168? And he said, yeah, but he doesn't want to. So I thought, I mean, I couldn't believe it.
He's trying to set you up, Frankie.
Look, what I told these guys is I had that when I fought at the Chase Center, I won that NABA interim crown at light heavyweight. You know, I took that only on that opportunity. You know, I mean – I just, you know, it's quite funny, you know. I was like, look, you know, he's a big name. I would love to fight him, but I'm tired of fighting at light heavyweight. You know, I fought Sean Miller up in New York for his, you know, WBF light heavyweight crown, and I tell you, when you got a guy coming around from 190 to 175, and I'm coming up from 165 to 175, there's a difference. You know, I'm a pretty tough kid, man. But man, I tell you, that was a clear distinction in size when we got there. And I'm thinking, man, he ain't 175. You know, when he stepped on the scale and he was like 73.5, I'm like, well, dang, I guess he is.
I hate to see when he hydrates.
Right. You know. Well, the next day, I thought. You know, he had all these big clothes on. Then when he got into the ring, I go, okay, it's go time. But dang, you know, this dude's about to punch my head off. So, but we had a good performance there. You know, I don't take anything away from my Sean Miller. You know, he was a good fighter. He, you know, I just can't compete at that light heavyweight anymore.
It's
just too heavy. And I'm actually going down. I'm going to try to look at 160. To go and fight. I doubt I'll be able to make 154, but man, you know, the money's right. I can make anything I want.
what is your walking around weight?
Well, right, I walk around at 73,
so
the highest I've been is 178.
Wow.
You know, and that's even after hydration. You know.
Yeah,
I just can't,
you
know.
A lot of size, yeah.
You know, and we fought in Baltimore before the Sean Miller fight, and we fought this guy before, Willie Williams, and he was talking a bunch of trash that, you know, I wouldn't come to his hometown in Baltimore and fight. And I said, well, let's make the fight happen. And it lasted 2 minutes and 49 seconds. So he got knocked out in his hometown, you know, and, you know, that was a blast. You know, I thought I was going to get mugged in the parking lot, but, I think they had to give me a police escort, you know, out of there. But, you know, it was good. So we're looking good, man. 2015, you know, we'll see what happens, you know. And, you know, I trained this morning. I'm going to train tomorrow morning, then go to church. You know, we're doing good. So.
Well, Frankie, we'd love to check back with you in a couple of months and see how things are going, see if you got something going. And if something happens between now, give us a call, and we'll get you right on.
Yeah. I think look for April 9th. Give me a call before then, because I think we're looking at April 9th. It's a fight up in Jersey. And we'll see what happens. I'm just trying to finalize some stuff. And then we might come back here the middle of May and put on – I'm going to help promote a show here and, you know, me be the headline. So my fans are just – they're chomping at the bit for the freight train to come back to Virginia Beach. So,
now, who's your new management company?
Frank Filippone Incorporated. I'm doing my own stuff.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. You know, I'm trying to see what stuff is out there. You know, I'm trying not to sign a long contract again. And, you know, I wouldn't say I don't have all the connections as everybody else, but I tell you, the biggest part for me is that a good kid like myself, clean cut, good role model, we never get the breaks. It's always the trash talking people, you know, that, you know, do whatever they want. You know, they're the ones that sell the tickets. Those are the ones with all the trash talk. I don't do a whole bunch of trash talk. Let's get in the ring. Let me punch you in the face a couple of times. That's how I do my talk.
There you go. There you go.
But yeah, keep me in mind.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your time, and you know, I especially appreciate the fact that you're going to try and make a difference for some of the kids that are incarcerated at this point in time. They used to be able to stay there at one time.
Yeah. So, right now we just say locked down. You know, it's fine. You know, we get you. Yeah.
If they're 10-15, you're there, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Great.
But So keep me in mind, and you know, I appreciate it. You guys always been good to me. Very classy show. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Frankie. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Hey,
all right, guys. Y'all take it easy.
Take care, Frankie.
Great, great bye-bye. Evening, guys. Great show. Here we are up against the I just looked at the clock and realized that we're up against the time lot. And, man, this hour has just flown like it has always does. But, Z, you want to lead us out?
Absolutely do. It's been another wonderful week. I want to thank Frankie and Aaron for their time and their insight. Always good to hear from them. If anyone has any fighting words, please do call. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. Doc?
We definitely want to thank Frankie and Aaron for coming on. We've spoken to Aaron many times, and we're grateful that he always comes on and blesses us with his insight. Frankie, I don't remember speaking to recently, so it's great to talk to him. It was a great interview, very funny guy, and we wish him the best in his career. He could make a lot of positive strides in the community. Bob is our co-pilot, and we'll see everyone next week.
Well, I want to thank Frankie for coming on. Always full of life and joy, and it's really a pleasure to talk to guys like that. Aaron has always been there for us whenever we wanted to call him. He's been a true friend and he's a part of our extended family. But, you know, one thing I was remiss this morning or this evening when we started, we want to send our deepest regrets out to the family of Ernie Banks, who passed away today. One of the finest baseball players ever to come through the Chicago circuit. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of police and fire services. And when you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, just give them a wink, a handshake, say thank you, whatever would let them know that you acknowledge them being there. It means a world of good to all of us in uniform. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain of the Windermere, Florida Police Department, Patrolman Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Firefighter Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, and our latest entry, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand.
Shemalek ma yelama, shemahezah yelama, sona shene vorat fed, hakuig again ma yelama.
1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 response to last emergency. End of tour, 6/19/11. May God rest his soul.
We love you.